Welcome to Switched On with Paul Moderman and James Wood. Strap in for great chats with super smart people on SAP solutions, Microsoft Azure cloud development, and everything in between.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Switched On with Paul Moderman and James Wood. I am, of course, the aforementioned Paul Moderman. With me, as always, providing his stoic, gentle but firm guidance on the tiller of all this stuff is James Wood. Say hi, James.
Hello there, everyone.
We have a special treat for you, our listeners, today. We have been, I think it's fair to say that we have been geeking out excited about all of the things in the GPT universe these days. And that is especially true when considering the recent announcements from Microsoft in the Copilot space of its tools. So you might have heard of GitHub Copilot in the year prior to this, and GitHub Copilot still exists, but Microsoft is incorporating the concept of Copilot as in an AI assistant to your tasks into a very broad array of its products. And so what we have done is we've convened a panel of experts with us to discuss that, to pick it apart, to yell and scream, to cry, to laugh, to sing songs, and just come together and make merry about the information ahead of us. So without further ado, I want to introduce our two panelists who are among us, of course. First is Dawn Clark. Say hi, Dawn.
Hey, Paul.
And second is Lori Beck. Say hi, Lori.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you, Lori. Dawn and Lori both are, I would say, foundational pillars of Microsoft expertise at Bodark. And we really wanted to make sure that we got some real deep Microsoft expertise in on this conversation with these new things. So with that being said, let's kick off. Let's go. As a product launch or a network of products, right? These announcements are really much broader than, oh, hey, we have this thing we're calling Copilot. It's got its fingers and tendrils into a number of things out there. So James, what do you think of when you think of this set of Copilot announcements in terms of the breadth and depth of what's going on with this?
Well, you know, I think in Satya's note there, or his keynote, like he was talking about, you know, kind of moving up the curve in terms of, you know, this Copilot experience and like that, this idea of paired programming, which, you know, it's kind of an interesting concept to think about because, you know, as a developer, I mean, you know, if I'm tasked with writing a piece of code, usually I've got my IDE up in one window and I've got Google or Stack Overflow open in the other. Yep. And, you know, I'm constantly asking questions. And I think just having that agent built in that is able to do, you know, way beyond novelty things at this point. You know, we've had code complete for years and some of these kinds of things, like you talk about GitHub Copilot, you know, it's, would you like me to write this method for you? Yes, I would.
Yes.
just, you know, an amazing productivity accelerator. And, and I think that's really what it's intended to be. You know, I'm sure the, you know, people that fear the AI overlords, you know, are, you know, terrified of some of these kinds of announcements. But, you know, I think Microsoft has done a nice job of, you know, presenting this as a Copilot. You know, it's there, it's going to offer advice. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to, you know, necessarily rely on it completely, but it's, you know, a huge accelerator there at your disposal.
So Dawn, Copilot as a product or a network of products inside larger products or whatever, what's your thoughts there? What's going on?
Right. So I would say that it's similar to like the Visual Studio when it first could do a code snippet for you. You know, that was revolutionary, right? Or refactoring, or just trying to have those, you know, the power, what is it called? FX Cop, you know, the first like code review product that was inserted into Visual Studio. from a dev experience, I think is just another accelerator, another helper.
Okay.
You know, where is this? How do I, you know, write to a file using C#? You know, that's out there. Everybody knows that. Everybody has to do that at some point. But, you know, I don't think it's going to take my job anytime soon. I don't see it as a scary thing.
Lori, what about you?
I think it's going to change the way work gets done in a lot of areas.
Okay.
I mean, it's in the pro code world, it's one thing to say, can you write me a method that does blah? But that's not going to be most people's experience with it. Most people are going to be the ones going into PowerPoint and saying, make me a presentation that has this effect on my audience. And that's a very different way of thinking, where before it's like, well, all right, how do I animate this piece of text to fly over at this many frames per second? And I mean, it's a completely different way of thinking. I think it's going to unleash a lot of creativity where people don't have to think about the how anymore. And yes, in the pro code world, we will have to think about the how for a while yet.
Yeah.
I don't think our jobs are going anywhere this week. But I think it's headed in that direction kind of at some level across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when I think about how many things this was announced as part of, both that day and the day before, day after, a couple things here and there, right? And some of the Microsoft's previous experiments with some of these things in other areas, I like to see it all glued together in one thing, or in one announcement with the little tendril announcements with it. What strikes me is how both broad and fundamental Microsoft views this technology as capable of impacting its entire product suite, right? Because like you said, Lori, I can just whisper to the world that I want a beautiful PowerPoint, and it just poof, it will appear, right? And I can say to Word, write me that angry resignation letter to James that I've always wanted to write, and it will just do that, right? And I can say to Visual Studio Code, you know, hey, write me some test cases for this method. And poof, there they are. Like, it is bent and geared toward like every computer interaction that you have these days, right? Because there's pieces that are in Teams now too. There's Teams Premium that has pieces of this, where you can get automatic summaries of meetings and action lists and follow-ups and things like that. Everything you do with a Microsoft thing on it somewhere is going to be touched by this, right? Or already is. So I think they're really kind of saying it in more or less one way or the other. And I think Satya Nadella said this a few weeks ago or a few months ago. He said, this is a completely different computing paradigm. And I think that's right. It's like, I think it's like, look out everything. This is coming to change it hard, fast.
In some ways, it is a little bit scary to suddenly be abstracted away from what is happening under there. But it's also very exciting because it just frees you up to do so much more.
Yeah.
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 Well, yeah. And I think that's been kind of the story of computing to a certain extent. I mean, when I broke into the space, and maybe it says a little bit how old I am, but, you know, I was in C land, you know, and it was not nearly as abstracted as, you know, certainly PowerFX, Power Platform, but even languages nowadays, you know. And so we've all, in our own ways, been standing on the shoulders of giants, you know, that every generation or, you know, it's moving at a faster and faster pace now. But you know, we're all building on these building blocks that are there. And this is, you know, I think a major inflection point, but also, to some extent, more of the same. I mean, you know, it's instead of tiny building blocks, it's, you know, really smart building blocks.
Super smart building block.
Right. Really big blocks.
the office came out with a little paperclip, you know, that said, hey, well, why don't you do this with this? I mean, I feel like it's kind of that, except it's big brother.
Yeah.
And, and it's got all this, you know, knowledge that that little guy, you know, is just like, wow.
Yeah. Now, see, that's one of the smart things is that now Clippy makes sense, right? Now Clippy is like, Clippy's like, I'm pretty sure you're trying to write a resume. Let me help you juice up the, let me help you juice up those experience lines there, right? It's it's very different than, can I find you a template of resumes that has purple backgrounds and whatever, right? This is like, no, I can write you a resume. You're looking to write a resume, I can do it for you, right? That kind of stuff. It's unreal. So, okay, let's go around the horn a little bit. Short-term predictions. Not long-term, short-term predictions on the product space of Copilot. Lori, go. Short-term, what do you see in the future?
Sorry, do you, when you say product space, do you mean like Office overall, or do you mean for us developers?
I mean for...
Those are different things.
Yeah, let's save the developer thing for next topic area. So yeah, the Office or Dynamics or Power Platform or whatever, that keep that in this one, and we'll talk about development next topic.
I think it's going to be a benefit. I think it's going to, as I said before, free people up to deal with their ideas rather than their skill set.
Right.
I think it's going to make a lot of people more productive.
Yeah. Dawn, short term.
I think short term, everybody's going to have fun going in and, you know, making a puzzle app or, you know, trying to see how far they can stretch the envelope. And then the novelty will wear off. Just like, you know, the first Alexa you had in your home.
Sure.
You know, trying to ask it, you know, just random trivia. So, you know, I definitely see it as a productivity tool that, you know, can definitely help, you know, ramp up the production cycle of, you know, almost anything that it touches.
Definitely.
Yeah.
James.
I don't know where it's going from here.
James, short term.
I think we're definitely in that phase where people are wrapping their head around what it is and what it can be used for. I mean, you know, we were just kind of brainstorming ideas around here. I mean, yeah, it's traditionally when you talk about the Office productivity suite, you know, it's kind of disconnected from the back office and some of the other parts of, you know, the enterprise. And, you know, now that you have this capability in, you know, kind of a more abstract productivity suite, you know, I think that unlocks so many ideas. And, you know, it's going to be up to, you know, subject matter experts, you know, business experts, you know, industry experts to figure out, you know, how do we harness this tool? You know, like if I can take out of my ERP system, you know, just a snapshot in a Word document of, you know, who's working on a work order.
Yeah.
And I can drop that into OneDrive and somehow this Copilot tool could, you know, I can ask it questions like who's available to work on this task I've got coming up tomorrow. You know, we've never had things like that. I mean, it's, in that sense, I mean, you know, I like the way Don phrased that. I mean, it's kind of at that novelty phase, but I think what comes next is, you know, just unpacking, like, how far can we push this thing?
And
right.
So can we try to think longer term? Like after the novelty phase, I know this is like looking into a crystal ball, like who knows what it is, right? But as you think about it, like, after the novelty phase, after the explosion and like all of the debris sort of falls on the ground, what do you see then? James, you're up first.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the interesting thing, I mean, you know, so the ChatGPT phenomenon has been around for a second, but, you know, I think the fundamental difference with this solution versus what we've seen in the past is ChatGPT training and learning on your data, you know, to get overly technical, but, you know, getting into the Graph API and learning based on my information, my inbox, my calendar, my documents, my, you know, whatever it is. And I think, you know, that's the part of this where looking a little bit further out, again, that veil that exists between the front office and the back office starts to, you know, get torn a little bit, and we figure out ways that, you know, we can maybe approach problem solving a little bit differently. You know, yeah. A lot of times this stuff is just kind of your traditional write a program to extract a bunch of data and analyze it in some form or fashion. And it's like, well, maybe we don't have to work that hard, you know?
Yeah.
We just got to get this data into a place where I can really bring this large language model to bear on solving problems.
Yeah.
Don, what do you think?
Sorry, just real quick.
I saw
a podcast where Bill Gates was talking about, you know, when they were kind of training GPT-4 behind the scenes, one of the, you know, benchmarks that he put to OpenAI was, can you train it to pass like the AP biology exam? And it kind of got there.
Yeah.
So that's like a, you know, abstract thought, you know, the ability to solve certain types of problems, you know, beyond just text analysis.
Yeah. Yep.
Don, what do you think long-term? Debris settled. We're all back in our houses. What happens long-term, you think?
You know, I think it definitely helps with forecasting or, you know, figuring out where your business is headed, how you can be successful.
Yeah.
Gives, like James said, with the visibility into all of that, the veil is going to shift.
Yeah.
You know, and all the users are going to have insight to everything in a company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laurie, what about you?
I think that if this proves to be stable and reliable and seamless, so it's not in your face, it's just there and it becomes how you work, then I think people are going to be, they're going to come to depend on it.
Yeah.
That said, I also think that as this matures, people like us are going to be faced with headaches in the back end. Because it's one thing to say, write me an app that does this. But if you've got 25 people saying, write me an app that does the same thing, then it's architecturally maybe kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we'll dive into that developer techie topic in just a second or two. That's a good segue. Let me just offer my own little piece here too, is that, you know, as I think about this, especially in the work context, right? Because everyone has like enormously different home lives, but like those of us who work professionally with computing devices and things like that, I definitely can see a world where basically everything I do that goes between me and somebody else is like AI mediated in some way, right? Like I just say, oh, I need to tell Lori that her last commit that she put in, you know, blew up the flim flam rod, right? and then the computer will like compose a little Teams message and send it to you, right? In its words, and you'll see it, and you'll have 20 messages from other people about other things, and you'll say, hey Teams, what's the most important thing in front of me right now? And Teams will pick one of those messages, probably not mine, right? And say, here's the one you really need to look at first. And maybe it'll summarize that message for you, right? And then you'll go after and attack that thing. But when you attack that thing, you're going to do it through the lens of the AI. You'll say, hey, GPT, give me a list of possible solutions to this problem, right? And you'll say, okay, this number 3 looks good. I just have to tweak it a little bit, and boom, there I go. Hey, GPT, create me an automated commit message for this. And it will, it does. We've seen it. That's one of the new features that's out there, right? Everything comms wise that we do amongst each other could have that AI like filtration / munging piece there, which I don't know whether to be happy or scared or annoyed about that, but I think it's a possibility that could easily bend and shift that way, right?
Do you think it would have a detrimental effect on communication skills at a personal level?
I don't know, because I struggle with questions like that, because like I also feel like every time I look at something weird my daughter does, I think to myself, my parents did the same thing for me, and their parents did the same thing for them, and their parents did the same thing for them, right? And when newspapers were first put into the world, there was complaints and fist shaking at that stuff, and then we all were fine with it. And when the television started having ads, there was fist shaking complaints about that, and then we were all fine with it. And when computers can start to do I don't know how to tell when that chain has shifted from we all get used to it to, oh crap, that was bad, right? Because some of those things are bad, but I don't know how to tell with this one where that goes in the human comms thing too,
right?
Because I do think also too, like, I will be glad to leave that behind when I am not at work, right? So if I step out of my office at home here and I go talk to my wife or daughter, I do not want the AI to like intercept my words, summarize them, and give my daughter like a bullet list of things I was going to say to her, right? Rate your school day from 1 to 5, right? And she'll just tap the hologram that says 4, a little smiley face on it, and, you know, like that kind of stuff. I want to just have the conversation. And I think that might still exist, you know?
Yeah,
hopefully. Good question, though. Good question. So let's talk about this, because we're all nerds. Let's be fair. Let's be frank about ourselves here. We're all nerds. Zoom in on like the application integration, development, code. Zoom in on that side of things with all this stuff. How does this stuff start to change that particular universe? Let's start with Lori.
That's a good question. I mean, obviously the productivity benefits are real. You know, if you can ask chat to write you a function that does X.
Yeah.
It could overcome some bad habits that, I mean, all developers have them. And if chat is always giving you a way that you wouldn't usually choose to do a task, then I think it will help an overall learning curve. As a developer, I think it's a great idea. I love it. I can't wait to play with it. But as I said before, my concern is people who aren't developers, the citizen developers and, you know, the makers. I'm afraid of architecturally getting things messy.
Sure. Sure. James, what about you?
Yeah, I think it's a case of, you know, we talk about integration. I mean, one of the things that ChatGPT is really good at is synthesizing language. You know, and when we start talking about integrating different systems, I mean, there's a language associated with that, whether it's XML based or a JSON dialect or, you know, whatever the case would be. And, you know, I just think, you know, it's very early days, but being able to synthesize that has always been kind of a soft skill that is very hard to wrap your arms around when you're talking about, you know, what does it take to be a really good integration developer? You know, I can enumerate a bunch of tech skills that you need, but, you know, what is called one thing in one system might be called something completely different in the other. And, you know, having a tool that's able to, you know, if you ever worked with middleware tools where they're just like, well, I matched up, you know, as long as the names of fields on both sides are exactly the same, then I can help you. Otherwise, I have no idea.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like that, we're in a totally different place now. And, you know, I kind of point to that Bill Gates talk that I was looking at where he's talking about, you know, taking a very complex insurance statement and having the co-pilot explain the benefits and why certain things were denied. And, you know, like having that detailed knowledge to understand kind of the semantics of a contract, of a document, you know, which is a big part of what we're talking about with integration.
Mm-hmm.
I think being able to harness that would be, you know, a very interesting thing because, you know, it's that soft skill part that usually is the barrier more so than the technical.
Yeah.
Don, the ball is in your court. As a developer, as a maker, as a co-writer, how do you see all this impacting you?
You know, I feel like it's just another tool. You know, I've learned lots of languages over my career. And I feel like it's just another tool. If I can come up with a pseudocode that I need, I can think logically, I can understand the problem, I can articulate the problem, and you know, just tell it to this AI engine, and it gives me code back. I mean, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know,
give me more.
I'm all about not reinventing the wheel. You know, I'm sure Lori, James, we all have our like little library that we start from.
Sure.
You know, that just kind of helps. But I do see that, you know, developers or citizen developers coming up through this may not have that benefit of saying, oh gosh, how do I convert this from C# to Python or whatever, some weird language when the AI can do that. You know, I don't feel like they're truly going to appreciate the struggle that we've all felt. You know, and you know, they don't need to, right? We have a technology wall. So.
Yeah. Interesting. So how does, I'm just going to toss this grenade in the middle and somebody pick it up here. How does, who becomes developers now? Does that change? Are there more people who are developers now or will be?
I think so.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the term that, I think Microsoft has floated around is more maker.
Yeah.
Because I think there, in the early days of low code, it was like, you know, you got your low code, you got your pro code. You know, I think where you, as the lines start to blur, you know, we all become makers in our own right.
Sure.
And I think this is the kind of tool that, you know, I share some of Lori's concerns, certainly.
Right.
But I think, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, software has always been to a large extent about automation. And, you know, as a pure computer scientist, you know, that may know the ones and zeros all day long, but if I don't understand how your problem domain works, I'm limited in how it can help you. And, and I think these tools do a nice job of bringing fusion teams together in ways that we just have not been able to get to. You know, it's almost like the middle school dance where you're, you know, techies are on one side of the floor and, you know, the business on the other. And like, there's a natural intimidation factor. I don't understand the acronyms you're using in your industry, and you don't understand the, you know,
the jargon
logic
guess,
that we talk about, or, you know, like the techie speak. And so, you know, this is, it breaks through those barriers.
Yeah. Maybe if both sides can articulate the same requirement, then maybe the AI can bring them together.
Yeah. There's, I mean, the core of GPT is a large language model, and language is for communications, right? So in my head, I feel like communication is the skill of this whole thing. And so, think about those times where you've been working with somebody like a non-technical person, a non-coder, a non-nerd, and they struggle to sort of articulate what they need. Imagine them just sort of speaking aloud a roughly descriptive thing, and Copilot in some fashion or other, whether it's Power Platform or in a Visual Studio Code environment, spits out a UI, just a UI that communicates what this person has been trying to say to you, the developer. Think how powerful that is in terms of, oh, now I get what they're trying to do. And now I can articulate to ChatGPT the gap between what they're trying to do and my data problem over here in making that happen. And then poof, all of a sudden the worlds move closer together. Like the communication, I think anything to do with communication is probably improved by all this stuff. And I think that even includes things like communication with, like, your code is a communication with both other developers, but it's also a communication with, like, a compiler or a computer, right?
Uh-huh.
You are expressing what you want to have happen in the bits and bytes of the von Neumann machine to do the thing, right? And, like, GPT being a language model is adept at how communications works and will help that in huge ways. So yeah, it's man, is like, there's a part of me that just kind of thinks that on some crazy short term that none of us really think is actually feasible, that everyone's going to be a developer in some way or another. Because like, I kind of think that in some future, you will just say what you want to the computer.
Yeah.
And it will do it. And if it needs to make an app to do it, it will. But that's different. But like, that app may only exist for the time that it takes to do your thing, right? Like, if you, the canonical thing, or not canonical, but scrub that out. The example I always use is, imagine, like, I like going to movies. I don't go to movies a lot, but I like going to movies. And I like getting the snacks at the movie theater. And I hate the soda machines that are like 50 soda machines in one spigot, and you push the screen to get like cherry Coke or whatever. That doesn't taste right to me. I hate the way those things taste. And so I want to know beforehand, before I get to the theater, does this theater have those machines, or does it have like 22 spigots and I can get just Mountain Dew from the Mountain Dew spigot, and it's not like mixed with other bunch of crap in the way there? Right now, like, movie theaters don't publish that stuff, and it would take some real investigating to get that happen. But if I could just say, hey, find me a ticket to the nearest Star Wars movie starting later than 3:30, where they don't have the garbage soda within 10 miles of me, like, that, you can see how that's computationally kind of hard, because, like, you know, there's no answer for that in Google right now. But you could feasibly construct various pieces of things based on like photos from Google Photos, right? That look at the interior of that stuff. You could feasibly figure that out, or you could just whisper it to the machine. The machine figures out how to make all that real, buys you a ticket from Fandango or whatever, right? And you just get an email that says episode 14 at 3:45, you know, over there, there's your ticket. Boom. Right? Because I mean, just today, I'm getting wound up here. Just today, OpenAI announced plugins for ChatGPT. So you can say, like, Expedia, but give me a ticket for this thing when you plan my itinerary. Or you can say, Wolfram Alpha, do the math in this question, right? And just mix it in with the language stuff going on there. I mean, it's like, the sand is shifting under our feet. And I think humanity invented a sand shifting machine, right? That will always be shifting it under our feet, because I'm too wound up about how cool this all is. The question for the group, how do skills change in this world where we're starting to see different tasks shift and change in terms of, in our case, enterprise software development? Let's go to Dawn first on that. What do skill sets look like now, or will they look like?
I think the skill sets are similar. You have to be a problem solver.
Uh-huh.
You have to think logically, and you know, you may not need to know a specific language, but as long as you can think logically.
Right.
I think that that's going to be the key. You know, those soft skills, right?
Yeah.
Talking to people, discovering what they need.
Yeah.
James, we're up to you. What do you think?
I would echo a little bit of what Don said, because, you know, I think in the past we've probably wrongfully so placed too much of a premium on how many years of Java do you have, or how many, you know, like, really just fixating on languages and, you know, skill sets. I mean, I even remember a time when, you know, in a job interview, I was asked to write on pen, you know, pencil and paper, write an entire program and have it be 100% syntactically correct.
Oh, jeez.
And even in the moment, I was thinking, you know, like, this is not how people normally do work. And I don't know that it's a real measure of what I would characterize as an important skill set. And I think, you know, it goes back to what Don said. It, you know, hopefully this allows us to get back to the things that do matter, which are, you know, logic and reasoning skills and that sort of thing. And, you know, it probably, you know, hopefully blended with still an appreciation of computer science. You know, maybe I'm just partial to that universe because it's, you know, where I grew up. But, you know, I think there's a false read on this sometimes is like, you know, some of these old classical skill sets are deemed, you know, we don't need that anymore. We've got this tool now. That's, well, yeah, but, you know, you're thinking about it the wrong way. You know, if you want to go further up that abstraction path and continue to push the envelope, then you need those skills.
Lori, the ball is in your court.
I don't think that the language skills and, as you know, the development language skills are going to go away anytime soon, but I do feel like the role of the architect is going to become more important. Not that it's not important now, but it's going to blend. I mean, you will be saying less of how do I get this done and more of what do I want to get done?
Yeah.
You know, it's, we're going to be doing less of the how and more of the what. And because we have time for more of the what, we'll do greater things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the number of times something, I don't know, like, crap, how do I reverse an array in JavaScript? I always have to Google that stuff. I don't know that off the top of my head.
Yes.
Like, and I like never again do I need to look for that information, right? And that just pushes that, like you said, Lori, that pushes, that floats me up higher in the clouds to be sort of the, now I'm the master and commander of the computing resources. And I'm not like in the bits and bytes going, gosh, I forgot to, you know, instantiate this object over here and blah, 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 whatever. Like, who cares? Computers, it's the computer's language anyway, the computer can figure it out. I get to decide how it all gets done as a story, not as a class or a method or a whatever, right?
Yeah. That's, yeah, that's my thing.
Okay, guys, last question. The last point here. We're all crazy for the software dev stuff. We're all crazy for being nerds about software dev. What other GPT-related thing are you thinking about in all this craziness? And I'm going to throw that. That's a grenade. Anybody pick it up or throw your body on it if you need to.
I will land on that grenade. I follow a lot of people that knit and crochet, and they've had ChatGPT create crochet patterns for things. So I think that's brilliant.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And it's like totally unrelated to, you know, developing things, but it's still creation, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to like go right totally out after this and try that.
I know. That's super cool. So I'm a yarn nerd as well as a computer nerd.
That's so awesome. I can't believe that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
James.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess to bring it back to the boring business base, you know, some of the things that they demonstrated in that product introduction, I mean, you know, we spend a ton of time around here writing proposal decks or, you know, demonstrations, you know, just things where just mundane to be in, going, I'm not terrible with PowerPoint.
I know.
I would love it to polish, PowerPoint. You know, my terrible slide decks and make it, you know, and so I can just see all kinds of, you know, and it adds up. I mean, you look at your timesheet every week and it's like, man, I spent probably 7 hours on that stuff, you know?
Yeah,
so, you know, it's like truly having kind of an assistant there to, go do this.
Lori, what about you?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind when you asked that was, I wonder if my daughter's going to go write her essay on ChatGPT. but I'm sure that some students do, and I don't know if that's good or bad or otherwise. I have a friend who's an English teacher, and she's like, I'm going to make them all write it in crayon now right in front of me because I can't tell the difference. It's just very exciting. It's very exciting to move past the chores and get to the concepts. It's matter what it is, whether it's, you know, a knitting pattern or a recipe or code, it's very exciting to move past those mundane things.
I love having like idea kickstarting sessions with ChatGPT, right? I love having, hey, what are some ideas for blah? And I don't pick any of those ideas for the real thing, but that's what got my brain kind of moving again as I was thinking about this, that, or whatever, right? Just having a thing that can like dump a pile of dirt in front of me and show me some of the shapes I could do. But then I'm like, no, here's what I really want to do. And then I do that. But like, I needed the shapes to sort of help me figure out where to go with that stuff, right? That, or Lori, you and I were talking about this, is the poetry that I've been able to cajole out of ChatGPT. This is really funny. You guys, a window into our one-on-one chat in our teams is that I pasted in a poem that I had ChatGPT write, 3.5, the previous version. And it was a poem, it was like a funny satirical poem about boat arc and stuff. And Lori looked at it and she kind of tweaked some of the words and phrases stuff and made it better. Whoops. And it wasn't until later in the discussion that Lori came to realize that I had pasted a thing that ChatGPT had wrote. She thought that I had written it. Jeez, language model, hi-o. She thought that I had written it, and then she was kind of gently, which was good. If I had written that, I would have liked her suggestions. But it fooled you, right?
It did. It actually did. I felt like an idiot.
But then I bought the upgraded version of ChatGPT Plus, and I used ChatGPT 4. And Lori, tell me if I'm wrong. The difference between those two things.
It's like purely, second grade and senior in high school.
I mean, it was night and day. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And like, just the feeling of, to James's point about how like getting my other things done besides code writing, done with that level of like, with like sophistication, I can't wait to do that so that I can do the things I want to do. Because if I really wanted to write poetry, I'd write a poem. This is just a goof off, right? But to create a proposal deck or to highlight a statement of work for potential pitfalls or whatever, like, I would much rather have a machine go, oh, you know, you put your billing read as $1. That's probably bad, right? On this statement of work or whatever, that kind of stuff. I want a machine to do that so I can dream up new things for us to go do in the world, you know?
Yeah, so it's like a hackathon, but with the ChatGPT, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
Man, oh man.
Well, guys, I think this has been a good roundtable. Does anybody have anything else they'd love to share with the universe about Copilot, ChatGPT, anything else that you've had?
Nothing more to share. I think just, you know, probably keep an eye on what's going to be coming up out of Build, because I think we've probably only been given part of this. more bombshells to come.
I think, James, you and I did a podcast with Charles LaManna back in like October or September or something like that. And he said, there's things I can't tell you right now, but they're really cool. And I think this was part of that, right? But also, like, you can be sure that anything that's announced means that there's like way cooler stuff in the back room, right? That they're tinkering on and the beaker is blowing up in the face and all that kind of stuff as they get it all figured out, you know? So I'm excited to see what else is next to at Build and other things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they also are, you know, in the middle of releasing Loop, you know, and between the Copilot and Loop and everything that's going on with the Teams Premium, I mean, there's a lot of experience stuff that is really going to be front and center in the next few calendar months.
Yeah. Well, okay, everyone. From everyone here at Switched On, we bid everyone listening a good day. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you later.